interrupting the current, neo-uranium, climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM510. I'm waiting here, folks, pausing. Are we going to finally step up and protect ourselves? See, lots of people are talking through the media, social media, that they're still being afflicted by the so-called officials, wherever they are, school districts, counties and all. And I look at every one of these complaints, and everybody's not helpless. If you would just assume the position that you are innocent until the official shows that they've complied with the duty under the law. You're going to have to go find where that is. For health matters, it would be your communicable disease law. For property matters, you have to then go to the property law of your state. There's a couple of them, particularly for taxes. Look very carefully. There's always a delineation between your rights and your property and their statutory rights and property. So I just want to lay that out. If you haven't heard me talk about this before, I've been talking how we create a separation. We identify who the tyrant is. It's not you. You're not the criminal. They'll call you the criminal. They'll, as you know, they call you names, and then they vilify you, and then they take a presumptive stance of authority. You have to have an objective basis to stop that. The only one place I know that that objective basis exists is with the law. And I get lots of people who have been involved with all this and see that the law really doesn't really work. Now, I'm suggesting to you that's all you have, and it can work. And in fact, thank you over at Odyssey, the comment excited upon that says, was a comment in the excited, that Sound Minds account where he syndicates this broadcast. The local officials, excited, says, local officials not under pressure to stop transfections of my letter, or by my letter, excuse me. And I want to point out here, this is not about you, anyone, stopping the general tyranny. This COVID swindle allowed us an opportunity to stop it for each one of us. So do not expect that what you do is going to affect the general population. However, the law works on each one of us individually, and that's where the power becomes. So your letter will stop it for you, unless you have a real tyrant, and then you still have the due process that I've been talking about. So when you write your letter, it's for you that it stops. And I don't know if anybody's written a letter that had the government come against them. So the best they could do is do a denial, and that just then starts the process of your due process violations, and you start accounting for them. But each suspected case is different in these communicable disease things. There's a suspicion that has to be turned into a determination. What your letter does is also put them on notice of the lawful way to proceed to remove the future defenses that the official will have. So this is when I talk to you about doing these letters. It's not, oh, just I'm making a letter and that does it. There's law reasons behind why you're doing what you're doing. And your letter draws a line allowing you to avoid. Not everybody. It doesn't stop their crime. The law should have stopped their crime. It didn't. And so we see the law failed. Their oath of office failed. They could care less about it. They claim to have no duty to the law, actually, when you look at what's going on. But it draws the line allowing you to avoid being determined uncooperative or allowing them to put a prejudicial label on. So there's more going on to what I say. Once you get involved and do this, there's expectations about some of this, like it magically it's a silver bullet. There's no silver bullets. In the face of a tyrant, there's no silver bullets. Even the Second Amendment's not a guarantee that you're going to survive a confrontation if that's where you have to go. And that's why I don't advocate the Second Amendment response until the people understand better how to set up a record which sets up their mind, which sets up their actions to prepare them for this next thing, the ultimate answer, which is not an answer. It's an ultimate question. Does the Second Amendment actually protect the right to alter and abolish? Which should have already happened, but it hasn't. And that because it didn't, and hardly anybody really stepped up to do this in the more peaceful way, I have doubts that we can do it as a society generally. We're going to overreact, I think, and go in the wrong direction. It's just what they're wanting. The whole thing is wanting us to overreact in the wrong way. So thank you, Excited, over there at Odyssey on the comments. I appreciate it. I get to come in and see later. Sometimes I don't always get in there. And for your Twitter support, too, every once in a while coming in and liking or sending it out, retweeting it, again, gets the word out. I don't know how many people are going to be able to use the information, and it's important for everyone, anyone, to pick this up. And so that's the only thing that keeps me going in some regard, and to keep me going, keep the RLM on the air, if you will, and keep us going. This is a February month for our donation month. For all, this is the only time we come in and ask for the funds to keep the all the costs of the website going and keeping my voice going. And again, and the condition and the difficulty I'm having relative to the broadcast and help extra expenses that Vince stepped up to pay for to do allow me to be here more until I get more settled. This is taking a little bit more to do, and I appreciate all the donations that you can send in that you're able. If you can't, that's fine. Send the word out. Send out the word of the broadcast, even if it's not for donations, because I've not ever done this for the money. I've never done this to do the money, be somebody that got money. And there's a lot of reasons behind that it's come from 30 or so years of looking at what happens when money gets involved. And plus, this is something, an extension of something else I had been doing. And so you get the benefit of that. On top of it, whether anybody truly understands the depth of what I'm talking about, and I don't say that to pat myself on the back, when people get involved and start finding out it's a little different. It's not much of anything of people's opinions of what they think is going on. There's an extent. This is a very narrow path. There's no joke about the narrow path. It only works when you're able to use it and you constrain yourself to that path of use. The legal remedies, the reliefs, even up against the corruption. So talking too much more there, except to go back. If you can't, go to RLM. I think they said go to the Support RLM tab or webpage and scroll down to where it says donations at reallibertymedia.com. And I think that gets over to PayPal. So that'll help us pay the bills for the servers and all for this year as we're attempting to bring the website up, bring the offering of the hosts, maybe better. And this is all a big learning process now with Grimner being gone. And he used to take care of that. That's not happening, so we have to readjust. And that's what's been going on behind the scenes. And I hope it continues to keep our ability to get the word out, because I don't know that there's anybody else getting this word out. I see lots of people complaining. Everyone's seeing the harms the government does. Everyone's seeing. I was hoping this would happen, but it's not. People aren't responding. That they would see the fraud the government has become, if it ever was something better. And then we would start rethinking all this stuff about what's going on and start to make changes, at least for ourselves, even locally. But that seems to not happen. We seem to wallow in how we got hurt instead of saying, wait a minute, you had no right to hurt us, and that's going to stop. It's literally going to stop. And so I come here to show you how you keep the hurt from you. I think I've done a good job looking back to advise people to do things, look for themselves, learn the battlefield, and then best of all, don't get in the battlefield. Make sure that they don't pull you into the battlefield. And if you find yourself naked in the battlefield, have enough MacGyver in you to get back out. Naked as you can be, you can still move through. And that it happens to be an insight you start to have when you start applying what you start finding is objective basis and get away from all the stuff that they were doing that's made up. It's just a narrative. It literally is narrative. When you figure out what you're watching with the Covey swindle is a complete story up until the warp speed attack on society, you have to stop even using the terms that lead us here, that people wallow in. And we keep talking about these COVID vaccines. There's no vaccine, folks. There's nothing there. And I'm not talking all my opinion, suspicion. As a matter of local communicable disease law, there was never a vaccine available. Never. I don't even have to think about it hard. But that process starts before the implementation of trying to treat, which was to prevent and control. There's quite a few steps before we get there that the local official was to do that was not done to anyone of you. That you can say, wait a minute, you're making these statements and these demands, these mandatory this and that's, without doing the first thing, which was to identify that I'm suspect. So you can't talk to me, actually. And the people in societies didn't pull that off. So it's a self-inflicted wound as far as the scandal. People are saying, about being, they were being forced. Nobody was forced. This is the interesting thing. I hope people appreciate. Nobody has been forced. I'm not talking about the people who didn't, who were anti this the whole time. There was nobody forced to do a thing. And yet you saw people now complain they were forced. This is how interesting this attack was. They really psychologically programmed the society to accept this. Those that are the contrarians probably were going to be contrarians no matter what happened. I suspect that's going to be conditioned if there's a next real looking thing coming on. How far against that will you be pressed? And the tools I'm offering you now ought to help you. Well, they should help you, whether or not they're going to prevail against a very well laid attack and an appearance of something that you can't disprove, like most people started to do. I'm not quite sure yet, but they'll go. What I'm offering goes a long way to put the burden not on you because you're innocent, but on the official in a limited form government. They have the thing. So I did want to say that. Again, going back to the donations, if you can't, this will keep the servers on. I'm spending a little more time here on that. We don't do this too much. We won't do it probably after February anyway, like we don't do. It's not as organized now. Maybe get to the tabs now. Appreciate it. I hope, again, I've offered people send me information on what they think they'd like me to cover. To me, it's just a bunch of iceberg tips. We jump from week to week, tab to tab. I'm trying to show you how it's interwoven in the whole world. What's going on is a global overthrow. It's based in a lot of, narrative. It's just a bunch of fairy tales. And I don't know where it went, but people literally stopped looking at what science was, and they accept what they're told science is supposed to be. And they were then interjected with terms, which I say you got to follow because it kind of gives you, it leads you, it's the crumbs that gives you to the crumbs, those that are causing crimes against you. This term went from science to consensus of scientists. Totally unusable to us. Totally not science. But people started to buy into that. That was where part of it, not the only thing. The terminology got adjusted that people started to accept things. So this story, which I haven't been talking about, I saw last week I mentioned the chatbot that's out there, the OpenAI chatbot, that there's a whole lot to talk about. Like Microsoft is wanting to pick it up, want to put it in their products and all. And this is going to be a serious problem. Once AI gains any kind of foothold authority, we're in trouble. And that's part of the problem here that I'm going to read here. But I find it interesting that there's a scandal in AI, and yet there's not a scandal in other things that are AI. And so we can use some of this stuff to laugh at it, but more importantly, don't laugh until they keep getting their way with it. We laugh at the lack of credibility that these people accept. But the university up in arms over ChatGPT, a scandal has emerged after a diploma thesis was passed despite being written by an AI-powered chatbot. The Russian State University for Humanities has called for restricted access of ChatGPT after a student successfully presented a diploma thesis written by the program. The AI-powered bot has garnered increasingly widespread attention for its text generation abilities. This student actually presented this and was successful in the presentation. Did not score well, but scored well enough. In fact, it was an interesting thing. The presentation of the student was better than other students. However, the point I'm seeing is very interesting here. The student essentially had to hack the bot in order to get it to do what he needed or she needed to do here, which was it learned how to figure out how to make the response larger because it was limited in the text it would provide, and it was adjusted in how it put together the grammatical strings from various sources on the internet to make the sentences and the paragraph structure more like someone had written them. So this is a very interesting insight that the AI-powered ChatGPT was hacked in order to make it do better. And yet there's a scandal over this model being used to perform usable data. What I find also interesting in this story is I don't know if I've ever heard of a diploma thesis for some certificate getting peer review from the school itself to validate the information. Normally, it's your professor doing that investigation, finding it's good enough, and then giving you whatever they're going to give you. This is going to now get the university involved to validate whether or not that AI did anything correct, did it correct, and would be a presentable thing, which is very interesting because that's now analyzing the quality of AI, which is what we need also. So this is the first time I've ever heard that this would be done. And then the government got involved and said, well, you can't take away the presentation because the presentation passed. In other words, the system itself, the university system, got a little lax, didn't it? And this is what I'm pointing out to. The whole system's getting lax, allowing artificial things to come forward to be passable. There's no real integration and check and balance. And this is not to go against Russia. This is to say the university system is this thing. It allows all these things. And then once everyone's caught, oh, we got a big scandal. And so I've been offering you to look, be able to see the scandal. Not that you're just contrary to something. Not that you just don't trust it. And do the analysis to see how it is such. Because what I'm seeing isn't climate change modeled, no different than an AI looking at patterns and then constricted and restrained itself that I guess a student could hack and come up with a new, a more improved product. That still may not be adequate. That is still a scandal. Why is it those models scandalous? Where is it that the university system can pick and choose what the scandal is when they're using the same technology across the board? Because AI is not artificial intelligence. The other thing I find interesting about this ChatGPT is you can see garbage in, garbage out with the political bent that you see issuing from a so-called AI text generation. The questions it answers, how it answers, has a political direction. So, to me, this is self-evident that all these so-called experts, all these people that use computer models, a long time ago, we should have seen that they wouldn't be adequate. Now we see the hypocrisy within the system. They'll accept the AI in one capacity, but a modeling system in one capacity and not in another. And all, that's all they are. And I'm not against AI. I think these pattern recognition systems are really neat. They almost do magic when you watch what you see, what they come up with. However, they need our interjection. They're a tool. They're not the answer. And that being said, I would feel, because of the corruption of the judicial system, I would probably feel more comfortable with a so-called AI judge who has the database of case law, database of the law. First of all, the law, because that's where we want to go in the text. We want to see how is it really what's there, and all the steps that are there. Because let's say in this Covey swindle, if an AI was judging whether or not an order or non-order was valid, whether the petition was done, whether the police power was invoked lawfully, it would have to come up with a negative immediately. And to that extent, because of the corruption of the judiciary, an AI may actually be a better answer. And we heard a little bit about that where we saw the AI, I think it was in New York, that someone programmed an AI to go after traffic tickets. And they found out what? It was 90% of the traffic tickets written were invalid on their face. What I would tell you each one of us can do as a set-aside where the criminal complaint, the citation, the ticket so-called, was incomplete, insufficient, inadequate in law to even bring you into the court. And so this kind of an AI would actually be good. So I'm not against AI. It's the hypocrisy around it all. It should not be put as a final product. But what's being missed is someone hacked it too. And so this is kind of the scandal. Is even the scandal of the scandal. How come all of a sudden the university system's worried about it? It really is more they got caught. So, and the only reason why they got caught is because the student started talking about how they figured it out, how they figured out how to hack the system to make it write more text and write the text in better form. I thought that was even more interesting, that somebody was that intelligent to figure that out, used it as a tool, and it was preliminarily accepted, except for the scandal, the hypocritic scandal, I would think. And then we have to see the danger. At the end of the story, you'll see they do mention, we have to look at, the government says, the Russian government, we have to look at very carefully at this technology and start to understand what it can and can't do, it, and really we're going to have to take this serious and make legislation if it's going to become and interfere with the people. And this gets us back to what robots are going to do and what they won't do. And that gets me back to the killer robot. And anything else, we put a machine into its place. But nothing, enough here. Interesting. University up in arms, a scandal brewing, and the harm that might be, as models are used to make product. And to me, that's just grata. Be careful. Be careful what your little young mind is being programmed by and hacked by those that figured out how. You're not taking in the all. You're not in perfect knowledge of the whole system of things, which is includes the sun, denied by these same university systems. Maybe not Russia so much, but by those that would say consensus of scientists is science. And this brings me on to the scandal that I've been observing. And again, I wasn't born with the knowledge these people seem to be politically oriented, or they're scandalous on their own, just their existence. The doomsday clock, but we see this is a narrative building. Doomsday clock update triggered by Ukraine conflict. Very interesting title when you understand that the Ukraine conflict didn't trigger the doomsday clock, which is the clock that the bulletin of the atomic scientists adjusts relative to the safety of the world, which started out as a nuclear focus. It's now expanded to climate change. That should be our first clue. The bulletin of atomic scientists are a bunch of Nobel laureate type people that are involved in looking at the world. They've expanded now beyond the nuclear threat to the world, and they've expanded into other areas. And then we found out, remember, if we didn't know before, that President Drone Obama, the Drone King Obama, was given the Peace Laureate. And we realized quickly, or we should have realized quickly, that that's a political, the Nobel Association is a political organization. These people are those people, but in a different capacity. And so we see the title here, it fits that West view of what doomsday is. And I'm not going to diminish the idiocy that's coming out of Washington that may make this more true, but they moved it into now the doomsday clock that I think it's been almost existent all my conscious life growing up and figuring out stuff, started to be aware that they started to promote this, stoke these fears and things during the Cold War. But 90 seconds now, they moved it up very close, and this is not something I want to beat the nuclear drum myself. Except to say we are. The Blinken idiot that's over in Washington, the State Department, is really a problem. The accidents that could happen here are, I think, justifying, in this case, not a political indication, but a reality that we have to really pay attention for. And I think the people have to start to step up and make their noise, even if it's just noise. If you notice the people being unruly at some point over a certain topic, and clearly so, has a great effect on the government, if that's all we have, an intangible touch. But the doomsday clock has been updated. They don't tell you that the United States, in this article, they point to Russia and Ukraine as a conflict that's stoking. Well, I don't know where climate change comes in this, because that's what they're supporting too, but they don't tell you that the United States is the only country that's ever used an atomic weapon against another country to kill millions. They also don't tell us here that the United States government has a first strike policy. Russia does not. And so, again, this is a political group, which I wasn't even going to talk about this, but this is coming on the tabs from last week. I'm moving this along now to show you the continuum of deception. And this is what comes on now, but they don't tell you certain things. So you do have to be more versed and more read as to what's going to happen. Don't ever forget here, the United States started this in Ukraine in 2014 when they invaded the government covertly, the coup that happened in Ukraine. It hasn't been really a democratic government if it was before. It certainly is not now. And don't forget also what Russia is saying. And all this, we'll get through some tabs. I won't read them too much just to show you that they're there to be seen. That Russia's being consistent. They are protecting themselves because Ukraine has never actually been, and I've said this before, it's in the documents, has never been a sovereignty. It's never been a country without a limitation where it was allowed and agreed to by Russia as long as NATO upheld its promise that it wouldn't move its flank 1 inch to the east. Now it's moved in Ukraine, moved its flank all the way over to Russia. So that was a broken deal right there. Ukraine was never, it was a buffer state. It was never an independent sovereignty. It starts with a condition and servitude. And so all these things are not talked about here, which is what really is bringing this nuclear thing up, because the United States is looking to avoid a economic catastrophe, and it needs to go to a war for two couple reasons. It takes your mind off of what's going on in the economy. It also starts an engine that goes on that moves so-called dollars through a system, and that's all the whole point here, why Russia and China and the rest are becoming such a threat. They stop using the greenback and moving it through the system. When that stops, everything starts to come to a halt or minimal output. Your life in the United States starts to go down the tubes fast. And, so to beat this drum some more, we have Noam Chomsky coming forward, world racing toward irreversible nuclear disaster. Well, I don't know about racing toward it. We're there. We're only 90 seconds from it. The Blinken idiot in Washington has that determination. And if you didn't understand how this was not a proxy war, that the economic attack on Russia, the immediate sanctions, is what caused the change in the world and is what the United States should not have done in starting an economic war and immediately losing it. What I told you was spitting into a hurricane. The blowback was going to change this thing. The United States should have never put an economic sanction on it because Russia saw it coming and they've been preparing, as I showed you and explained. But we got to beat this drum because they've got to keep the mind on the fear. It's all fear-based stuff. But so Noam Chomsky, he's not out of this stuff. It may sound like some people may think he's a voice of reason. He's also fomenting this stuff in the same way. In the political side of this, the world racing toward a reversible nuclear disaster. I guess you can say truisms. I guess it would be certainly an irreversible nuclear disaster, I guess, for our lifetimes when nuclear weapons happen. But understand who the instigator is here. Russia just wanted a buffer state that NATO said de facto now is part of them. And we're not seeing any letdown with the United States as it now says it's ready to attack everybody. China's on the plate now, and we're going to eat up Iran. We're going to go ahead and attack Europe, essentially. Where does this nonsense begin and then end is likely war because they need it. And so Iran is interesting because it pops up, again, in a nuclear threat capacity. And it appears to me that they may be, that's probably the weakest element to attack if they're going to do an attack. They're shifting the focus from Ukraine, making Ukraine kind of irrelevant in the mind's eye of the people because they got to keep the people, the basis of the United States people have to be on board, as we are people now seeing, referencing that Ukraine could be the next Vietnam, if it's not already. And so this, think, go back to what happened in Vietnam and all the protests. It's probably time to start showing not just a protest for the sake of protesting the war, show that the government's not fulfilling its duties to protect the people at home by fomenting things outside and they don't have the authority for it. Start making that noise a lot better. Stop using the fear of this world racing toward a irreversible nuclear disaster when that's not the only thing that the doomsday clock represents anymore. Those people have expanded it to climate change and some other things. Noam Chomsky is a promoter of climate change. So these people are in league and they're just promoting an agenda. The problem is there's a reality out there. People are dying. Then the United States and NATO has no right to be there, as far as I can tell. People may or disagree with me, but I don't know what your proof would be because you never brought it forward. And I don't think you can. Otherwise, I think if it was out there, we'd know it. And I've been watch what Russia does. They're under attack. And you've been given some good lessons of what Russia does. Whether or not I agree with Russia and their policies and their type of government, I don't know. The one in the United States is not too good. It's not living up to its own constitution. So what good is it as well? So there's lots of questions. The problem is for the United States is it's in the power is in the people. And that is a thing that has to be exercised at some point. And I'm just hoping that we do it with some intelligence. The bar for the nuclear war interpretation has been dropped now, however, which brings these prophets of doom more relevant, actually, even though they're pushing an agenda, even though they have been pushing the agenda. Russia says it will consider the deployment of German Leopard 2 tanks as the use of a nuclear dirty bomb if they use shells containing uranium core. So this is the problem with these new tanks that we're supposed to go over, which I know they're delaying now. The United States Abrams aren't going in maybe until 2024. This is all a delay tactic. This is all to drag this thing out. But Russia is now saying if you come in and you use nuclear-tipped armaments, we will consider it dirty bombs. Is a nuclear threshold bar being dropped by Russia? And to me, this is, first of all, you don't want that stuff around. If you understand what they do, they have to go clean up this stuff. The United States had to go, I can't remember the country, they were ordered to go and clean up all the munitions, the atomic munitions that were in there from depleted uranium rounds, because it poisons the land. Russia's not in there to poison that land. In fact, it's very fertile and rich. The West would benefit from having the land poisoned with nuclear things. So when you see it from that point, you see why Russia is saying, no, you bring in these things, we're going to consider a dirty bomb, and you're going to have to consider the consequences of what we do. Nothing's not available to us. The West uses that as a threat, but it's a self-inflicted threat. The new tanks coming in are also being held up because they have state-of-the-art armor that's depleted uranium protection. And those tanks are not going over to there, and the Leopard is not having that restriction that I can find. Therefore, when you go and you destroy a Leopard tank and blow it up, its armor becomes particles of depleted uranium pieces everywhere. It poisons the land. So pointing out, we watch what's going on. There's another side to this whole thing, that Russia's being very careful about what they'll allow as a bottom line as they move through and do what they believe they need to do. The two things are denazifying and demilitarizing. And Lavrov comes out to say more about that. And what West is doing is actually making it worse. Instead of backing off and not moving an inch east, they continue to make it worse, like the United States tends to do, being the bully that it is. This is the other thing I don't like. What an embarrassment we are at this point. Necessarily the people. I'm sure that, you know, I've heard enough on the countries of other peoples of other nations don't believe the people are involved. In fact, they kind of feel sorry for us. And that's another type of embarrassment. Moving on, this Russia dropping the bar now, if depleted uranium rounds are used, and the doomsday clock being brought up, and the idea that we could actually move into a nuclear war without nuclear weapons to start it. The WHO comes out, the World Health Organization, not the rock group, the OWL, or the little people of Whoville, but the World Health Organization urges countries to stockpile medicines in case of nuclear emergency. So again, the drumbeat that goes on with the doomsday clock people, all the same politics, all right, all the same agenda, is coming all in tune, all at the same time to play the tune and to promote this nuclear threat. Always, if you see, there's an attachment to climate change as well, so don't misunderstand what they're doing to seed the mind to be prepared to accept. No different than they've done in the Covey swindle and all this other thing. The endless disease narrative plays on. People are asking, when did you first find this out? They were talking about the Covey swindle. And I've said to a couple of people, well, December 2019, where I designated it Operation Hindsight 2020, but actually it was in the pig's fly flu. And that's where the starting of how they were going to bring these novel, endless diseases upon the people was with the avian flu, the pig's fly flu. It would be a real avian flu. If and when pigs fly was my interpretation of that then back in, 2009 or 10? So this is a narrative that they built in, and it came in after 9/11 that was predicated with an anthrax biological attack, again, seeding the situation to bring it along. Fairly predictable in my mind. But, so the WHO now comes in, as playing their drum in the song now that we're going to hear in the theater, on the stage, they come, you better have your nuclear Armageddon medicine. And so that is a possibility when you have people like the blinking idiot in the United States doing what they're doing. No rhyme or reason, actually, counter to anything I understood as being international law, property law, rights, nation, sovereignty. I've not found a qualification that allows anybody to speak in the way that they're doing it. And yet we watch this insanity. Literally, it's got to be an insanity, a psychopathy that has literally no bounds. Except it does have a bounds because you're watching Russia play it. And they're doing a very good job on it. They've won the economic war. There's no sanction that you can put against them that they're not going to weather, or they're not willing to weather, which is probably the worst thing. You're not going to take them down, even if they're hurting. They're going to just suffer until it's gone, because all things end in time. All bleeding eventually stops. Right, Redneck? Redneck Dennis? Yeah. So this is the kind of thing that Russians are aware of and do and put in practice, and they're not persuaded anymore. We have been discredited. The United States has lost the economic war. It's now started a whole bunch of different type of ideas. We're even seeing South America step up more earnestly now. There's been lots of talk. It takes a long time to do economic policy stuff, currency things. But they're all now getting in grudge, rolling up their sleeves now to do something that the United States started that shouldn't. In the old narrative, they shouldn't. But I'm not so sure that the new narrative isn't part of a larger net, if you will. Like I said, doesn't look like the IMF and the BIS goes away too much. It doesn't look like BRICS is away from the World Bank or the IMF influence. The currencies right now are internally transmitted stuff. And so we just watch carefully on that to see whether or not globalism is still alive and globalization has been killed. Russia knows globalization has been killed, as I've been saying. They just came out and said that. But they still embrace globalism. And that's the bigger threat here. That's what the agenda for the Doomsday Clock's about. Right? That's what the WHO's about. So that's still playing. They've still got voice. They're still not discredited. They ought to have been discredited a long time ago. I've been trying to show people how to discredit them, but people are more interested in licking their wounds about how they got duped. And these are the people that got duped, trying to explain how they got duped. And everyone's missing the point. Everyone's missing the point that they are not powerless. Somebody does something to them, and that looks like an official, and they don't have the right. That is an actionable thing. And I'm not talking about going to court. I'm saying you got to build your record to show that it's not actionable. They have no authority. Russia's doing this on the world stage in a more diplomatic type arena, even though they're being discredited without reason. This is the whole point, that Russia now comes up to explain how this all starts to work. We look and we wonder why Russia does things, like we see this article. Why is Russia expanding short-range air defenses around Moscow? I don't even know why that question exists, but there it is. I guess it's to highlight the things that Russia's doing to put air defenses in Moscow. This is serious, folks. They know it's serious. Why is the news so far behind that they even asked that question? I'm surprised that they just started doing it just now. I was surprised when they allowed their Air Force base to be attacked. I was surprised when they let their oil tanks get attacked. So Russia kind of moves a little bit slow at some point, like they did in Syria. However, they are moving in earnest, and they have a focus now. They're readjusting as they start learning themselves. But Russia is expanding their short-range air defenses because they understand there's a real threat. Why? Because all masks are off. Russians are finally here, it says, but what they're talking about was that the Euro-Atlantic elites, motivated after meetings in Davos, realized that there was no more need to cover their true intentions with hypocritical appeals to save the young Ukrainian democracy for the sake of world peace. More and more representatives of the so-called Golden Billion from the West recognize the real goals of the bellicose policy that they have been waging against Russia for decades. Decades, folks, not just last 2 years, decades. Namely, the destruction of the integrity of the Russian Federation as a state and deprive the Russian people of statehood in order to gain control over huge, 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 whichever your bent is on the pronunciation of that anymore, huge resources that for some historical injustice belong to the Russian barbarians. The fate of the state of Ukraine and the lives of its population are of little interest to them because in case of victory, its fertile territory will become a pleasant bonus. And when they Washington realized it may not get what it was doing, it's willing to bring in tanks that will pollute that land too. So the, if you will, the spoils that Russia is attempting to avoid don't go to Russia. Because this is not about a democracy, as this article will tell you. This is not about the West doing anything good. This is about a special pleasure they take and a special idea that they have that they own that land already and they're going to go get it. Anyway, that just violates my senses altogether. I thought this was an interesting... the Russians see the mask come off, the Atlantic Davos. They're talking about doing these things. They're making misinterpretations or misstating what Ukraine's about. Russia's been fairly clear about what this is. Again, not to promote Russia's side. I'm just looking no different than the Israelis and the Palestinians. Where's your land? What's your real title to what you're saying? What's the title in the land? What's your right to it? What was the actual condition of the state? In this case, there is no actual sovereignty. It was a buffer condition. It's a minor state that's being violated and being grabbed up. Why? Because people in the West want Russia. They want to take their people out. That's why we hear about the biolabs and stuff like that, why it's specific to their genetics and what the research is about. So the masks are thrown off. Russia's putting the armaments on to protect Moscow because why? They know that they're now they're vulnerable. The United States is providing longer range missiles and drones, and the Ukraine army is willing to use them. They also hear this. Ukraine former defense minister says NATO may need to send ground forces to Ukraine. So from the air and from the ground, NATO forces coming in, de facto, Ukraine is a member of NATO. Russia sees that. So why are the anti-aircraft stuff going on top on the buildings in Moscow? Because they know they're at war. This is not a proxy. They've been describing it now recently as a proxy, but before that it was a hybrid war. They've dropped that. I've explained behind woodshed, it's explained to us, de facto, this is NATO. And it's because of the support that's coming in, and we see now UK former defense minister says NATO may need. Well, the government doesn't say that. They have someone else say that. But it telegraphs to Russia, and Russia's paying attention, as we see in another story here, Russia and the West on verge of real war. So it's not a hybrid war. It's not an economic war, not a hybrid war. It's not a proxy war. We're right moving up to real war. That is the position of Russia. Even if it wasn't true, that's the position of Russia. And when you have someone who believes they're backed into that corner, so-called, they're going to respond in defense of themselves. That they have the right of self-defense. The West can't even take that away from them. How outpositioned the West is in its lunacy. Moscow adversaries have long aimed to destroy everything Russian, the foreign minister says. We see this in the historic documents. We see this in the people talking about salivating over taking the resources of the country of Russia. It doesn't matter about the people there. It's again seeming to be the exploitation of places for profit. Don't let them do their own stuff. No, you got to come and steal it from them. The current situation in Ukraine demonstrates the conflict between Russia and the West can no longer be defined as a hybrid war, but is instead approaching becoming a real one, says Minister Sergei Lavrov. I'm bringing this up because where Russia's dropping the bar of what a nuclear war could be to the fact of using the armament, where you see the West balking at all of that, but moving in still, we start to get to the point where the horns being blown for a nuclear disaster become a little bit more relevant, what we're looking, by accident. Or we're looking at a long-term Vietnam encroachment, which what the West would agree with because it just saps Russia of its people and its resources as well. And the United States is not above doing that, not above just tapping somebody's energies. Invading, threatening an invasion. It's like your next door neighbor telling your neighbor to intrude, violate somebody else's space, if you will. But Russia believes they're on the verge of real war. Why are they putting anti-aircraft stuff on the Moscow? Because they're on the verge of real war if they're not already understanding that they're in it. Russia outlines a response if Ukraine gets longer range weapons. And this is starting to show what I was telling you before. Watch what Russia does. They don't back off when they're feeling threatened. They're saying when the United States and NATO provide longer range weapons, Russia's going to have to push their artillery lines and their missile lines further west into Ukraine. And they're willing to do it. And they're setting up to do that. The greater Kiev's capabilities become, the further its troops will be pushed back, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov asserted. I don't want to read more. You can read the story about their logic. So we're seeing the United States watches what they respond with, and they're going to send those in to continue the fight, and Russia's willing to put it in, and they're willing to make this thing happen and work it out, because ultimately they can't lose. It's a matter of time. And when the place is done, you watch. They go into places, they clear it out, and then they fix it up. This is not a mission by someone who thinks they're going to be defeated. Crimea is not going anywhere. So all this misdirection done by the West is not going to serve any purpose. They picked this up, this extension of this point, when German Chancellor Olaf Scholz stated that NATO would never go to war against Russia, but this foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, said, quote, "We already are at war with Russia altogether." They don't mince words in Russia. They just take you for who you are, what you say. And they know that the West is not credible. It's just not credible. You can't trust them. All the agreements that they can't trust agreements either. That's why most of these things are being dropped. There's no bilateral agreements anymore because they're not being upheld anyway. So they drop the pretense. There's no sense. This is the steps to real war. When you stop communicating, you start setting up the condition that there's no other way to go. When you stop talking to somebody and they don't like what's going on and everything you do becomes an insult, you're not going to evade the war, the battle, whatever the attacks are, however slight or however severe. You can't speak to that because there's no channel to speak. Those lines of communication are being cut. And so, I don't know about the nuclear thing, but the fact that we may be going to a war, maybe even like a Vietnam thing, a protracted thing, utilizing other people's nations that the United States is fostering, encouraging with the threat of a nuclear first strike capability, it doesn't look good for not going to war and people die. NATO having troops in means eventually, as we heard, the troops from the United States went to, I think it was Romania, just outside the border of Ukraine, United States sons and daughters are sitting there in a war that's like the Vietnam War, no justification actually contrary to agreements. With no actual purpose, except the people driving it want Russia. They want the land of Russia. And Russia and China are coming to the point, well, we have our stuff. We'll trade it. We'll just do commerce in the world. That's a better position, I think. Whether or not that comes with attachments, I don't know. It seems like China does some interesting stuff. They put you underneath. They give you aid, and then if you can't pay, they don't. It's like a bad debt. But they still have a relationship. They still do their thing. There's still movement and energy coming through your country. Not making a decision here. I'm just saying they've changed how they move, their mode of operation. It's more favorable to diplomatic agreement. The United States is cutting ties and causing chasms with the capability to cause some real harm against someone who can retaliate. Russia outlines the response. If Ukraine gets longer-range weapons, is to say, you bring longer-range weapons, we're going to push back your artillery people. We're going to push back. We're going to go take more and more land until you're not a threat to our western border, and now our extended western border. And so watch the writing on the wall of how this is coming down. Watch the West. See, talking to the people that live in the West, the governments that you live in are heinous or psychopaths like this, the people in them. That's a reflection on you. How, in us, how However, we're supposed to deal with it, I don't quite know yet. I see it watched a lot of chickens with their heads cut off quite yet. But that does not sound an excuse either. But this is a reflection on the people, not just really doing something about it. But Russia's not going to put up with that as an excuse either. Lavrov says received certain message from Blinken through Egyptian foreign minister. They cut all the communication lines, and then they leave one open through the side door while they're claiming they're not going to communicate, and they're not involved as the United States. A high-level communication, in part, goes to Foreign Minister Lavrov through Egypt in order to offer him a deal he can't refuse. Just like the mafia. But it only comes to him in part. And again, as they will, the Russians will look out in the world and what else is going on. They figured out what the second part was. And this is truly not, the United States may be a gangster, but they can't offer Russia a deal they can't refuse. That doesn't exist for Russia now. It's too late. The Blinken idiot doesn't quite get that. But they're still showing you that they're in first position relative to what's going on in Ukraine by sending this message through the Egyptian consulate. So there is a line of communication. It's not direct, but it's not Ukraine talking that way. It's the United States. It's not UK speaking to this. It's the United States. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said on Tuesday that he had received, quote, certain message on what Russia should do in Ukraine from U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, passed on through Egyptian Foreign Minister Sameh Shoukry. And the message ultimately is not well received relative to what's being offered, which is really nothing. Mr. Minister of Foreign Affairs of Egypt said that he had conveyed a certain message to Secretary Blinken, who was recently on visit to Cairo. I confirm this, Lavrov said. We have always said that Russia is ready to listen to any serious, I emphasize this word, proposals aimed at resolving the current situation in a comprehensive context. In this regard, we have once again heard the message conveyed through the minister that Russia must stop, Russia must leave, and then everything will be fine, Lavrov told a briefing following this meeting with Shoukry in Moscow. It's not fun, folks. This is just their hope and a whim. This is all the West can do. It's threaten Russia, who's not really threatenable. Tony Blinken did not convey the second part of this appeal, but the second part of the appeal, and this is the true interest of the United States and the West, was outlined by NATO, NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg. When he was in the Republic of Korea, he said in one of his speeches that Russia must lose, Russia must be defeated, and the West cannot allow Ukraine to lose because then the West will lose and the whole world will lose, Stoltenberg said. That is, he took the liberty to speak not only on behalf of 36 members of the North Atlantic Alliance, but also all other countries in the world, Asia, Africa, and Latin America, Lavrov concluded. So you can read the rest of this story, how the Russians deal with it. I think it's very important how they interpret things. They're taking it right on face value, and they're not persuaded one little bit. And all the United States can do is not even look at them directly and deal with them directly. They go through a surrogate. Only half the message is given, and none of the message is acceptable. And it's not acceptable, I guess is the other point there. And so when we have a United States that's in a defeated position, they're already lost. They're just big and powerful and strong enough to cause trouble. I get a couple of insights here from Fiorella Isabel on the Twitter. Except Russia has never imposed a Ukraine sovereignty, so why put them in the same caliber as NATO and the U.S.? The U.S. took control of Ukraine's government since at least 2014. Where was the talk about sovereignty then? The people of the Donbass have no sovereignty from Ukraine and NATO. This is an interjection on another position, another statement, but this highlighted, and why I brought to bring it forward, is some of the proof that I talked to you before. The United States invaded in 2014 what was supposed to be a democratic state, but it wasn't. It was just a vassal, in a way, it's a vassal buffer state. It doesn't have a sovereignty. That's, and then for to her, that's why there's no sovereignty talked about. There is none. And so she brings up some important points, though, but it's the question is, why are you talking democracy and sovereignty now when you didn't recognize it before? Part of the answer is it's not there. That's the fraud upon that Russia is exposing here, that you've gone against your agreements. And so we really, there's no agreement you can make that we can trust. And I keep telling you, even you have that problem. If you can't trust any further, whoever it is that was supposed to be self, you know, serving you is self-serving likely, you have to take action. And in a lot of cases like this case, inaction on Russia part would not have, silence on Russia part would not have been an answer. And the response from Lavrov is exactly that. Blinken came in and says, leave it, everything's okay. Well, it's not everything okay. It's okay for the United States. Their problem goes away that they started. Ukraine, the corruption discovered is nothing but Zelensky's method. We're watching again, not only is there not a democracy there, there's not any kind of free sovereign state. It's a vassal state, whoever can control it. What we see is the ongoing corruption that goes through, and we see some of the Twitter feeds, the Twitter evidence showing the connections to the current president, his son, the military, just on and on, all the investors, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, they're all involved somehow through some of this. Not everyone, but a lot of them, those in the know that do this. What unites Sierra Leone, Zambia, and Ukraine? The corruption. Now it will be a big problem for the President Zelensky to convince Western partners to continue economic support in his proxy war. The scandal that led to the arrest of the top government leaders in Kiev was hardly unexpected. After all, his trusted men have acted the same method that has distinguished the Ukraine president for years. And so we see the oligarch running the country and the money that goes to him and the funneling and the money laundering that's going on likely. We're finding, again, there's more evidence that all the equipment going in, a lot of it gets sent to other places as if the United States is fortifying the terrorists elsewhere. The money that you see going to Zelensky is another embarrassment. And there are a lot of adjectives. I can't even come up with them fast enough. How abhorrent this is to us. People of the world, actually, but driven by the United States, denying that anything's going on, yet communicating through agents like Egypt to send the message, the offer that you can't refuse like any other gangster. Ukraine has a kill list that includes presidents and children. This is again from Fiorella, Isabel. The U.S. can murder world leaders and coup governments and supply weapons to Nazis before breakfast. Israel can bomb countries daily to no consequence. But just imagine if Russia did a fraction of this. And this is the imbalance of the world. This is what Lavrov is talking about. When NATO speaks, it speaks in both sides of both of the whole world. Russia is being blamed for all the things that the United States has done, the West done, UK has done. There's no outcry. Israel does things to, has an open air prison. There's no outcry. There's a bit of one starting. I've reported on some of that. But there's no actual actionable type of relief. There's no balancing of the equation and then the work to keep it peaceful. No, there's the drumbeat of nuclear war now that we're not supposed to be focusing on. Now, equivalent to climate change. Understand that's always a theme coming through. This is going to be also the war of the communicable disease that is set against us. These existential threats, they're always on the horizon. And some are more credible than others. Some are shown to be frauds. The United States has the first strike capability and Russia lowers the bar for depleted uranium munitions, we have a much closer time schedule of potential problem where just a mistake happens. But where is the equal application of the demands for justice, for equal treatment? There is none in this world. Goodwill on earth, peace on earth and goodwill amongst men. Maybe from time to time, but generally no. fact, it seems nations are created to cause these troubles. The United States seems to have been, even notwithstanding all the high-sounding framers saying we don't go out and make problems for people. For some of the first things we started doing was making problems. Russia exposes names behind U.S.-backed Ukraine biological projects. Russia is in a full war-scale mode here. They told us they went in and found these papers. They got, 20,000 documents. Not sure why they're not yet. They may have better put them out. I haven't seen them where they put them out for people to review. However, doesn't matter. Again, I got the memory hole on Twitter with the Luger Biolab in Georgia, not the United States, Georgia, the one over in the Eastern Europe, where, that seems to be the seed. It starts to come up here again, eventually in the tabs, when we talk about the expansion of what the U.S. Biolabs are, and where they were, what they were doing, what they are now set up to do. Again, focusing and crawling over to get close to the Slavic DNA to try to make a targeted biological weapon. Moscow claims the individuals focused on testing and developing new deadly weapons. The Russian troops have obtained 20,000 documents pertaining to American biological research programs in Ukraine since the start of Moscow's military operation, the country's defense minister announced on Monday. The most recent trove brought to light a number of key players in these projects who had previously remained in the shadows, according to the commander of Russia's nuclear, biological, and chemical defense forces, Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov. So we have the guy who's in charge of looking at Russia's defenses in these three areas, biological, nuclear, and chemical, saying our intelligence is gathering information. They can't deny it. The past reports I've done behind the woodshed show the United States is admitting to it. When they start removing and moving and admitting they've moved information out and getting their labs changed into new areas, this is not supposed, again, over the world, you're not supposed to threaten someone like this. And yet the United States denies it. They, again, can't be trusted. They've discredited themselves. So Russia exposes more names to identify what's going on. As we find out, and there's reporting now, U.S. conducted HIV biowar experiments on Ukrainian military. And don't miss the point that Fauci, since like 1984 in NIH, that's all they've been doing is so-called HIV research, which is all a fraud too. It's all this stuff is made up. It's like the endless disease start. It's like the agency that starts the endless disease capacity for the United States, which then is exported out to all these biolabs. On January 30th, the Russian defense minister revealed the United States specialists held experiments with HIV on the territory of Ukraine. Ukrainian servicemen were among those used as guinea pigs in the U.S. laboratories on the Ukrainian territory. The defense ministry previously revealed a network of American laboratories in Ukraine. Washington confirmed researchers in the field of public health there, but denied the development of any biological weapons. Well, they kind of admitted to them as well, and we also saw they brought these people in under diplomatic cover when they weren't entitled to. And so what the United States and the West does, while it's saying it's not posing so-called existential threats, these are not existential threats like, oh, we're going to make these narratives. These are real threats that the government of Russia is identifying against them. Why Ukraine was to be a buffer state, not an active participant. Because the United States does this stuff, despite its denials. And so we have more evidence coming forward, more specifically what was going on, and yet it's tied to the fraud behind what we saw happen in Comey swindle, the same people. They're making up stuff. They take symptoms and they make them, give them a name, and you think it's really going on when there's other underlying conditions that are not being treated or being interfered with, like comorbidity conditions, in order to bring on more deleterious health issues that they claim to be fixing with their next magical silver bullet, which is not. In the latest one, it's actually, we see it's clearly a chemical, a bioweapon. Novel, invented, patented, nothing natural about it. And further actions now with those biolabs, with the Ukrainian government involved. We see Zelensky ordered destruction of all state docks associated with Metabiota on 2/24/22. And this is the company that was Hunter Biden's investment biolab condition. We've talked about this before. Again, all this is coming through. And it explains a bit of this story about how the report comes down to explain the Zelensky's involved. We get back to the president's son involved. He can't, I mean, how far away does the big guy, 10% big guy, how away from this problem that the United States government's been involved to threaten Russia all this time? There's never been a neutrality. Russia can't keep it on its border. And as Russia is just saying, the more you do this, the more we find out, the further in we're going to have to go into Ukraine. And they're not putting a limit. They may keep going. Who knows? But the United States keeps showing that it doesn't listen to that. It has no care to listen to it. And we're back to the intention maybe just to engage Russia in ongoing type of nonsense. And the people are just, again, fodder. So the United States is willing to use bioweapons, prohibited bioweapons. Things called HIV, which we thought was in the secular sector, just the civilians. No, it was all part, it's all patented. So it's all chemical, technical lab stuff. There's nothing organic about it. Sitting right there on their border. And I'm telling you what they're doing there, they're doing to you here. And if Comey Swindle didn't prove that, I don't know what more to say. If what I've been offering is ways that you could avoid it for you. If it's, again, when you, I am completely understanding there's, you say COVID to me or COVID-19, I realize you don't know what you're talking about. It does not exist. It is a narrative term, in particular, those are just the symptoms anyway. I'd have to stand there, and if I agreed with you, say, okay, the symptoms, now what? So you start that way, and then you say vaccines relative to it. I know your mind has been controlled. And we have a society that's still mind-controlled relative to this thing. It's a story. It's a fairy tale. When you finally understand it's a fairy tale, you finally understand, you step out of the theater. You step outside and you see, this is just a show going on. Nothing has been real. And people are seeing that, which I'm encouraged about. But what are we going to do about it? Now that we see that the whole thing's a facade, your whole reality is really a fabrication. It's a big story that you're playing a part in, even to stand there and be a contrarian to it. What are we going to do? What are you doing in order to keep that at arm's length and not affecting you? Is the first step, in getting a mass of people to stop this nonsense. That until we can do that, they are going to continue to do these things. They're harming people under the color of doing things, under the color of justifying bioweapons as a needful thing in war. All the world's realizing that's just not the way you go. In particular, nuclear, you can see it just destroys the use of the land. Not this magic radiation. The particles that have the radiation that emit it get in everything. And that's just not acceptable. That's why it's no good. And then why are we at that level anyway, I guess, is a philosophical question. But Zelensky is ordering the destruction of the evidence that Hunter Biden, the investment group or whatever, was involved in Ukraine all this time. Powerful research or biowarfare. U.S. government knows Ukraine pathogens are weapons, says an observer, as I get from Sputnik. I'm noticing lately I'm just going to RT and Sputnik and seeming to get a lot of these stories relative to this Ukraine story that are exposing the United States for the criminal that it is. Again, the report that the Blinken idiot goes through Egypt to talk to Lavrov, and then the foreign minister says, yeah, they contacted me, gave me half the story, but they contacted me. Can't be misinformation. And so I get this information from them, not from the Blinken idiot. An independent investigation into the United States government's overseas biolabs is long overdue, investigative journalist told Sputnik, stressing the dangerous pathogens are bioweapons, no matter what euphemism one is using. Yes, there you go. Call it COVID or the symptoms or 19 or give it a number or the moronic variant or the Kraken. give them any name you want. These are all bioweapons. Can I settle that a little bit better? They're all bioweapons. There's nothing organic about any of this stuff. But whoever thought a gain of function is something valuable and then said, oh, well, if we give it a dual use, that's even better. In other words, we can impose it on society. I don't know where this military intelligence, in quotes, comes from. But that's how we work. We cannot foster and encourage a peaceful world. And Russia is showing us that that absolutely can't. They could not take a position where they were inactive against these threats. And I reflect that to the United States, the people of the United States saying, you can't be silent. Silence is not an answer here to the crime you're watching. The truth too big to hide. How Washington fails to sweep Ukraine's biolab revelation under the rug. Again, the excuses that come from this. Different players in the government. The embarrassment, the discredit that's going on. And we're not responding, even as a people, in our own stead, our own protection, after being attacked by these very same excuses. The lie, too big to be swept under. This is too big, not too big to fail, but too big to put under a rug now. And we hear nothing against it. Again, to my dismay, because I've been here to explain how the people, all people, could do that, and all people haven't. National Security Council Strategic Communications Coordinator John Kirby admitted that the U.S. worked with Ukrainians on, quote, some pandemic prevention research prior to Russia's special military operation in Ukraine, adding that research facility had been safely deactivated. Okay, they're doing so-called pandemic prevention research. You have to have a pathogen. Which was it? Well, that research for that pandemic had to be a technical lab-grade made thing. It's not natural. So they admit, the United States military admits what I told you, the United States military moved against you at warp speed. You see what I do now, folks? I saw you say this story. Do you see what I'm pointing out to you now that I said 3 years ago? They admit that's what the military was doing when I told you this would be the worst thing a society could face. They admit they're doing it there. I told you the carnival mirror that we're looking at, they're doing it to you here. Pandemic prevention is not even within a jurisdiction of the United States. They're working outside of those jurisdictions. The shame of it is, the embarrassment is, they got a bunch of people to believe the story, the fairy tale. And the ones that didn't believe it didn't move quickly to stop it, to show that it was impossible to move it forward, to example to the rest that fell for the story. That maybe they ought not to. I'm not real happy to hear all of the problems we're seeing, the sudden deadly thing that's going on, the harm that's going on, friends calling me their friends who got the shot are dead. I'm not happy because, oh, I said that was going to be it, I didn't take it. This is a travesty, this is a tragedy on the people. And they admitted they do pandemic prevention when pandemic means nothing. And it only can mean that it's invented stuff. It's patented things they're trying to figure out how to hurt people with. Moving on. Wow, I can't believe it. They're telling you exactly what they did to you. And it's exactly what I told you they were doing to you. But I did that, 3 years ago? And it was the pig's fly flu before that. Then the question, interesting little website I found, the Intel Drop. I moved through some tabs, through some links in that site. Pretty interesting. They actually asked the question, what if COVID outbreak, let's say, don't use pandemic here, but listen to the word outbreak. What if COVID outbreak is part of the Pentagon's biowarfare plan? Yeah, what if, folks? Just what if? A little bit of Ron Paul here. What if? Yeah, what if, folks? No, exactly. Good title. Perfect. It's not a question. They just admitted they did it, but it wasn't an outbreak. See, that would bring it inside your jurisdiction. Do you know what I'm talking about, folks? That's your communicable disease law said, and it instructed me to tell you, if you didn't read it yourself before that, that you only have outbreaks and epidemics. There is no pandemic. And COVID wasn't an outbreak. But what if COVID outbreak was part of a Pentagon's biowarfare plan? And I say, yeah, folks, at warp speed. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. The Korea, now we hear, the Korean Central Agency News Agency, the state news agency of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, has recently accused the United States of being a sponsor of biological terrorism, adding that the allegations that the Washington is behind the COVID-19 pandemic are by no means fortuitous. Pyongyang's assumptions with regard to the Washington's potential role in the COVID-19 pandemic apparently stem from the bombshell report of Professors Jeffrey D. Sachs and Neil L. Harrison, published in May 2022 by peer-reviewed multidisciplinary scientific journal, The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America. Professor Jeffrey Sachs of the Columbia University had spent 2 years as a chairman of the Lancet Commission on COVID and recently published a major paper in the prestigious PNAS journal arguing that the virus was very likely artificial and also calling for an independent inquiry into a possible American origins, but virtually all Western media outlets ignored this dramatic reversal, says Ron Unz, an American technology entrepreneur, political activist, writer, and publisher of the Unz Report. Review, excuse me. And so, here we have it. A virus that's likely artificial is not a virus, folks, first of all. But remember, I talked about this guy, Jeffrey Sachs. He's the one that was involved in the Russia thing early on. He was a policy advisor there for the United States. Be careful, he's an agenda pusher on top of it all. But the truth is starting to come out, as I told you. And now we hear, of all places, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea saying the United States may have been involved, the military may have invented this. They didn't invent it to the extent that they didn't make the novel bioweapon. And I told you that we would shift at that point when they started at warp speed injecting the population with the so-called infectious agent. And you saw that happen. Admitted here, people are now seeing it. I guess it takes someone like just Professor Jeffrey Sachs to say about it, to talk about it. But you heard it behind the woodshed before it even got started. And that's not to say more than that's what the bird, what the pig's fly flu was. That's what HIV has been. That's what the anthrax scare was. Even if they used anthrax, it's to promote and drop the seeds of your vulnerability that they're going to come in and save you. And then they, by 2020, they're getting you to accept stuff. Again, listeners to my broadcast, right? Oh, well, I didn't do a thing. That's right. We didn't do a thing. Oh, think about that. We didn't do a thing, really. Once we knew, once we heard, we didn't do a thing. It didn't affect us because there was nothing but a boogeyman out there, right? That's not going to affect us. It's affected our society. It's affected how this place runs. It's brought us into this movement to bring the United States into the austerity that was planned for the agenda that a pandemic was made to bring on. Showing you the military is actually in league with the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and all these non-governmental, non-United States things. They were supposed to defend you against them. No, we have some serious problems in this country, and we're seeing the outward examples of that where we have to go listen to Foreign Minister Lavrov tell you how the thing is coming down and watch their deeds in response to that. Not the made-up story, the actual thing that's going on. What if COVID outbreak is a part of a Pentagon biowarfare plan? I say yes, folks. Yes, sirree. Yes, ma'am. Kyrgyzstan, more U.S. biowar labs found there. As we heard before, the United States has got them like everywhere, it seems, and they moved what way they had in Ukraine. You hear they cleaned up the place and made it so they were not a threat. They were getting rid of the evidence and making it not a threat so that Russia couldn't use it against them. But they're moving all that stuff elsewhere. We find them more now in Kyrgyzstan. And a sensitive blow was dealt to Western NGOs At the end of October, the work of Aztec Media Resources, the website of Radio Aztec Loop, and the Cactus Media was blocked, and a number of pro-Western activists were arrested. Prior to this, many politicians spoke of the need to cleanse the civilian sector of the foreign Western influence of these biolabs in this area. And none other than that USAID is involved and the National Endowment for Democracy in these NGOs that are fomenting this problem in that area, no different than the USAID is around the world. I've talked about this behind the woodshed. They seem to be the front or humanitarian face of a military operation. They soften up the target. They get access. It's not much different than like the Peace Corps. The Peace Corps is outlawed, I think, in Russia. They understood what was going on. I wanted to be part of the Peace Corps, right? I mean, I wasn't free of, oh, yeah, I want to help people. Then you start finding out that's just another type of front. You got to be careful. The government's got all these type of agencies, the volunteer, humanitarian, you want to help out, great. Yeah, they inspire people to want to help, and they use that against you. They did it with Covey swindle. Oh, we want to help the old folks. Wear a mask. Get your shot to help the old folks, the kids. They prey upon our good Samaritan nature, our good nature. They use that against us. And it's a sad day to say we have to guard that. Doesn't mean we don't help out. We have to be very guarded as how we help out and what we do to be able to help out or be considered to help out. But USAID's involved in all this too. The National Endowment of Democracy, NGOs, humanitarian issues, the cover of the hypocrisy, the cover of fraud and deceit, as I told you years ago we were moving into. It's now evidencing itself. Baltic nations, and we're getting to the war part of this, when you start cutting ties, how do you go to that Kyrgyzstan and deal with those people when they're actually promoting what the West needs to harm you biologically? A Baltic nation expels Russia ambassador. Envoys from Moscow and Tallinn have been ordered to leave within weeks by their respective hosts. That's not the only one. EU members kick out Russian diplomats. Vienna has revoked the diplomatic status of four Russian representatives and ordered them to leave Austria within 1 week. We heard last week that Russia got rid of another Baltic nation. You're watching the communication lines being severed. As Russia is speaking outwardly now that there's real close to real war. When you sever all lines of communication, when you have Antony Blinken, idiot, going through Egypt to talk to Russia, you have a serious problem in the world. And we don't know what may happen here. Somehow I'm not feeling too threatened. I think nuclear war is out there, but maybe not. Again, we don't know what accidents happen. We can certainly see that this is not peace on earth. We can certainly see the United States is doing nothing to help stop that problem. NATO is cutting its ties everywhere. Russia is having to cut its ties. There's no sense. They realize there's no sense to talk to these psychopaths. We better focus on protecting ourselves. So I have to give that opportunity to anyone. I don't care what their political ideology, what their nation, what their society is about. When they feel threatened, there's nothing more that you can say. And you better be able to stop the gangster that's coming against you. Vienna, of all places, kicks out Russian diplomats. Why do you kick out diplomats? Why are you doing that when that is going to actually accelerate the question, accelerate the problem of distrust when you need that trust at the most important time? Why do you make outward statements that would bring distrust upon you? That would actually cause more people, more nations in this case, to have to rethink their position with you. It is another dynamic that's going on, one that's being fomented by the West. Kiev's jubilation over drone attack may push Iran to take new approach on Ukraine crisis. And don't underestimate this as NATO expands its reach, its tentacles. In Ukraine, they were talking about Taiwan, they're going after China, now Iran steps up. But it's coming from what happens from Ukraine and how they just got attacked. Iran summoned Ukraine's envoy in Tehran on Monday to explain a tweet by Ukrainian President Advisor Mikhailo Podolyak, who stated the Ukraine had warned the Islamic Republic about the consequences of its supposed military support for Russia after Saturday's drone attack on a military factory in central Iran. And this is interesting when you go look very carefully. That drone attack was not successful. Iran has put nets across over their buildings so that these drones can't actually get at the buildings now. It's a new defensive strategy against these optocopter type stuff. They can't get at the buildings now. Just a big net that they put around. They put around our tanks and everything as well. Apparently it's fairly effective. But Ukraine comes out and talks about them. They're suffering. Iran will suffer the consequences. This is also on a story that there's nothing been proven about the support for Iran at this point, although it looks like there's some support, but not the level like the drones and this and that quite yet. Maybe not the missiles yet, but there's talk. But Ukraine comes up with a comment. Why would their diplomatic corps in Ukraine make this kind of a comment that evokes the ire of Iran? Tehran cautions U.S. against launching attack on Iran after Blinken's threat. People have the hairs up on the back of their neck now. The nations are paying attention. Again, the sanctions the United States imposed gave the world the excuse they needed to walk away. And they were prepared to do so, and they're doing it. And now it's going to take the time it takes to work everyone back together in their own economic spheres. That war becomes the only answer left. The United States is looking now, because it's losing that greenback movement in the world. It's going to figure out another target. It's going to move the direction. Iran becomes the focus. Blinken is actually there making comments is how he's there. And Iran is now looking at this thing from Ukraine, which is United States backed, and then Blinken's statement, and saying, you're focusing now on us. The Iranian foreign minister has warned the United States against infringing on Iran's territorial integrity after U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken threatened the Islamic Republic over its nuclear ambition. Again, the nuclear drumbeat of the doomsday clock coming through these last few weeks. They call it the existential threat. Israel's not involved here either. Israel's not involved in Ukraine as well. And that's becoming a problem. The support, the underlying support there, Russia's even taking notice of that. Now look at how this war becomes the world war we're talking about, as the United States, through NATO, starts reaching out and threatening people. These nations have to decide how they're going to deal with that, what measures they're going to need to take. And this is not hyperbole when you have drones flying in, when they were insurgents in Iran, if I can get this story part of the story correct, that set these drones up to set them against these manufacturing facilities, which were ineffective, but they were nevertheless people inside that are insurrectionists being influenced by NATO in Iran. So this is a real threat, these countries. What do these countries do? I guess put yourself in these positions. You got a bully down the street, a big bully it's supposed to be your neighbor, who decides to make threats against you, sending their drones, agents to send their drones into your backyard and try to blow up your chicken coop, whatever. This is not something you tolerate. Now you have to decide how you defend yourself. The Iran foreign minister spokesman underscored the United States government too well knows that Iran will not tolerate any aggression against the territory and interests and will respond to aggressors decisively and in a manner that would make them regret their action, the ministry said. Don't think that it seems that they don't have much power, but don't underestimate the fact they're doing harm in some missile attacks they're doing at American bases, local, and they do now have technology to reach Israel if this thing wants to flare up because of a nuclear threat that Israel is. The hypocrisy on all this. Again, just making excuses to make war. I can't see how we're nothing more than discredited by our own actions. And the nations are taking this literal like they should. The words are one thing, The actions are totally something that you have to respond to. Russia rebuffs Jewish group protesting comparison to U.S. to Hitler. This is what caught my eye here, because this becomes a theme relative to Russia and China, using the same tact in order to expose the culture, cancel culture type attitude, to try to diminish their validity, Russia's validity, where we have Russian foreign minister says European Jewish Congress discredits itself by ignoring manifestations of anti-Semitism and glorification of Nazi ideology in Ukraine, as this group tries to say that Russia was glorifying it, but in fact the Jewish group should have taken more cognizance of what's reality in Ukraine and not disregard the Nazi influence and the Nazi condition that sits there. By doing so, by not looking at the truth of that, they have discredited themselves before Russia as a group, which I found very fascinating. It's correct to do so. This is one of the first times I've heard, though, an outward, direct statement as to the condemnation that one's actions discredited, which spoke to me, because that's what I've been telling you to do. Once you see these cancel culture types, these agenda types, speaking nonsense, existential this, existential that, without looking at the reality that they're speaking to, they are discredited up front. They lose their right to have a say. And once you figure that out, that's the jurisdictional argument in a different way. You show they have no authority to speak because they have no ability to actually and correctly identify the reality of something. Its limitations, its extent, the many social laws that are on some interpretation. When you disregard something, you bring yourself into discredit. Is important for us to know. I thought Russia identifying this is critical for us to understand, because in a way it spoke to me. What I'm suggesting to you is you discredit the official that had no power to put any order mandatory on you or make you pay anything or do any kind of action. You out that discrediting them as being an authority by their actions. You don't do a thing. You're innocent. You're even innocent in your acting, having to act. They are discredited by what they disregard. I found this a very powerful lesson to see. Russia knows about doing this. This is an example of them pulling it off. Let's move on over to China. In the same week, same discrediting comes out. The same actions one does and claims superiority, that the actions were not superior, evidences a discreditation, a discrediting of their authority, of their statements. Moving over to China, the same kind of a thing is exposed. It was interesting, it came in the same week. I haven't been able to get to it. Relative to Yellen, talking and diminishing, or talking against China and their economics. China slams U.S. over catastrophic debt. Beijing has urged Washington to conduct responsible monetary policy to avoid a default on payments. This was supposed to be a report I was going to make with the ceiling, the United States ceiling problem. And Yellen's going around the world, embarrassingly so, trying to tell other countries how to do their economic programs. China has rebuked the United States for its brinksmanship over the nation's catastrophic debt problem as Washington approaches a statutory debt ceiling this week that could see the country defaulting in its obligations. The criticism came from the Chinese embassy in Zambia's capital, Lusaka, following a reproach from United States Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen over alleged mishandling by Beijing of a debt problem in the southern African country. On Monday, during the visit of Zambia, Yellen said that it was critically important to restructure the country's debt. She blamed China, the key creditor of the African state, for being an obstacle to resolving the problem. The one gangster complaining about another gangster's control, I suppose. The United States government doesn't let competition. I guess is another lesson here. We see again proven out. In response, the Chinese embassy in Zambia said on Tuesday that the biggest contribution the U.S. can make to the debt issue outside of country is to act as unresponsible monetary policy, cope with its own debt problem, and stop sabotaging other foreign countries' active efforts to solve their debt issue. Seems like a pretty fair statement to me, don't you think, folks? But what does that do, though? They outed them. They discredit Yellen. They discredit the United States. They discredit the Treasury of the United States. When someone comes of an authority to do the wrong thing or infringe on someone else without right, they discredit themselves in the first instance. It doesn't matter who they are. So I found the nations who are responding to these deceptions, the exceptionalism that's false, that's been promoted in the world here by the United States, calling it out, the exceptionalism of the Jewish narrative of the harm of Nazis and then embracing it, calling it out, discredits these people, discredits these organizations as soon as they open their mouth. Is an important lesson for us to see, to just take away their power. And better if you have the objective basis, as I've been pointing out, to go find before you do this, so that you have a basis from which you stand that's substantial. Again, not on sand like these folks are doing. That China says, clean up your own house before you come to ours. We're here helping. Don't invade our ability to work with other countries. And again, it's in Africa. This is a big resource draw. China tells the U.S. to solve its debt problem instead of worrying about Zambia. See, there's no good example here for the United States. The United States has brought the world down by its petrodollar control. That is shifting. The greenback is no longer moving in the world. That's really all of this monetary, this currency does. It moves around in systems. When it stops moving or slows down, it causes trouble. And that's what's kind of posing for showing up in the United States at this point, that China gets to do that to Yellen. What an embarrassment. The United States is not even aware enough about this dynamic, that Russia picked up on it and used it against the Jewish group, denying the facts of what's going on, running the narrative that's improper. And same thing with China going up against the Treasury Secretary, nevertheless. The voice of the world is being denounced, discredited by their own actions. It's an interesting lesson for us. What's our example? Well, as I keep saying, as I said in the beginning, excited. Thank you for the question. Your example is for yourself, and that will example to others. Write your letter for you. And everyone write your letter for you. Show that the object isn't, the duties have not been fulfilled. At least get that established, even if there's no non-answer as to that. And that allows you to say you're discredited by the fact that you didn't follow this objective basis. There's not even an argument. See, that's the peaceful out. You don't have to argue. You're without authority. You've discredited yourself. I didn't do a thing. You could have done it right, but you didn't. No, you come out blaming people instead of doing what you should have done. You're discredited. You're done. No matter whatever your authority you thought you had, you're done. How's that? That's pretty quick. Why don't we use that? U.S. debt ceiling outserved. Its purpose could be abandoned to stimulate growth, experts claim. I want to bring this up because this is what I was saying. Just stop. Stop pressing, making a new ceiling. Stop building up the debt. It's building down, remember? How about if we just downsize the government? Well, someone's done an analysis. This Kirill Krasilnikov, the idea of a debt ceiling in the United States is a relic of the past that is detrimental to the country's economic growth and should be abolished. Why not, folks? Makes sense to me. I don't care if it's coming from a Russian. Makes sense to me. Am I Russian? I don't know. Maybe I is. If you're looking at doing logic and critical thinking and do you want to solve a problem, I guess maybe those were Russian now. So they're going to blame us, Andy Blink is going to blame us for being a Russian sympathizer anyway. Well, if we're going to be a Russian sympathizer, we might as well get something done anyway. They declared us to be terrorists anyway. We have really nothing to lose but to do the better thing. But someone outside the country looking at Janet Yellen's warning could see, well, you don't have to push a ceiling up. What's wrong with you people? Downsize. It's a relic. It came in for a purpose. It's, that purpose is over. My observation here on this, maybe that purpose is not, because this purpose was instituted by World War I. It was then fostered and encouraged in World War II, where this thing comes on. And we're watching the same, you know, we want to go back to Vietnam, but they're actually referencing World War II. There's a time in World War II we're starting to see again here. Let's want to point out here, all this example is exemplified by this observation. There isn't even a need for a debt ceiling. And so, again, discredit. You haven't solved your own house problem. You haven't, you know, you don't, when you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks. So, go home and fix your problem and fix it. Don't mess around. And then from Russia we hear, well, you don't even need a debt ceiling. It's outused, it's usefulness. And that's essentially what I said. Let's downsize the government. Let's not make that we have to have this. Let's stop worrying on people. Let's stop funding, leverage funding for NGOs that don't do us any good. Let's stop doing the agenda of the internationalists, the globalism that's in, inside this country. Let's fix those cancers. Let's invest in our own people. Let's not offshore this stuff like we did back in the 90s, 80s, 90s. Why'd we do that? Just so we could have a raise a debt ceiling? Is that supposed to be something good? No, it's a relic. It's understood by other countries. Why don't our own people in the United States recognize that? As we see who the controller is, as you stay in a fiat system, who the controller is of your life, your economic life, is the controller of the currency. As we see the story here to show us, explain to us, Janet Yellen sees recession risk even with improving inflation jobs. See, the recession, I said, is going to take jobs. And look around. I can do dozens and dozens of links. There's jobs being lost by the tens of thousands right now, if you haven't heard. That is indicating that the recession's in play. But yet, Janet Yellen sees recession despite there's increasing jobs. Where? I don't know. That the quality? I don't know. But what was interesting in this story is it says this, and this is where you see who's controlling you in your economy and how they can throttle you and what this ends up meaning for us. I'm reasonably satisfied that the data that I've seen so far, but I don't want to minimize the risk of recession, given the Federal Reserve is slowing down the economy, Yellen said Friday in an interview. This is when she was in Africa, got chastised and discredited by China for trying to disrespect them for what they do in Africa. But a job that she wants to work from the United States and then try and get them to redo their economy on the model of the United States. They said, no way, go home, fix your own house. She admits here in that statement that the Federal Reserve is slowing down the economy, which means you don't live in a free country. You live in a country managed by the Federal Reserve. And now bring your Fed coin in without moving there, and you're, that's the third-party trustee to your monetary life. They are slowing down the economy. They are bringing this thing into austerity. This is globalism. The money people do this. So right in the news, we have the notice of who's controlling your life in America. The same lady who the Chinese just discredited. Incompetent. Get your house in order before you come here. Russia, same thing. You're promoting, Yellen, you're promoting to raise the debt ceiling. You don't even need it. It's a relic. What are you doing there? You're incompetent. You're discredited. And yet the United States, I can hear crickets about all this stuff. Oh, no, we get the fighting in the, between the Republicans and the Democrats doing nothing. Nothing against this threat. This literal, factual denunciation of your life as you knew it and the moving you into austerity is under the control of the Federal Reserve in this story right here. As we see, as I told you, Russia won the war, the economic war that the Americans started. The IMF, another part of the Treasury, a part of the World Bank, IMF, EIS, IMF upgrades Russian economy forecast. The United States didn't win the economic war against Russia on the sanctions. They lost immediately. And we're seeing the evidence of that in the money people looking at where's the next investments going to be? How are we going to manage this? All the puppet strings going on. Globalism is alive. Globalization is what was broken. The fund expects a 0.3% growth in 2003, having previously predicted contraction. No, Russia's doing quite fine, thank you very much. We could go and read all these numbers if you want. You can see who it is. The fact is that Russia's doing better. IMF is supporting that. Indeed, the Russian economy is confidently overcoming the sanctions barrier of unfriendly countries, even using the words from Russia. In 2023, further economic recovery will depend on the improvement of consumer demand as well as a measure to ensure the growth of corporate and consumer lending. There you have it. Internal monetary dynamics. There's money internal moving in their system. It's consumer driven. And the corporations are tied to that. Well, corporations, multinational, is globalism. But the consumer becomes, these are consumer-based demands. I would think that the apparent standard of living of Russia is going to be increased by this as well, as they do this. But it's because they're running internal now. Their domestic money is inside. They're growing because the production that they have goes outward, but the internals is how they work amongst themselves as their own citizenry works within the structure. IMF is saying Russia is going to be relatively fine as the United States is being managed by the Federal Reserve into austerity. And it's by people who are deceivers who, by their silence and what they call silence, you see their actions and what they're intending, normally not good for us. U.S. VP cuts Declaration of Independence in pro-choice speech. Kamala Harris appeared to deliberately omit life from life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in a speech. And I don't know about you, folks. This lady, there's something wrong with her. I don't know where she had her communication skills. I don't know how she got where she got. I don't know how she speaks where she speaks. I don't know how people ask her to go where they ask. I don't know how people understand what she's saying. I don't even know if a three-year-old, she speaks to a three-year-old the way she speaks. So this omission is maybe not such a surprise, but when you put it in the context that these people are running your country into the ground and that they omit things from the vocabulary that are written, which means they can't read, or their intention is speaking through the words, and they start to omit things that are to be part of your society, you're being run into the ground by people who want the next thing other than your society. This may be your next president of the United States, the way this thing works out. Who knows? But they're not even consistent with your organic documents, which also says and tells me the propaganda that they seeded in you, that you believe this is something, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness should be working, it hasn't been working for a long time. That's why it makes no mean to her. And then you haven't really insisted on it. And whatever insistence that you put on it was really more of a question. And then we stopped. And I've been able to broadcast quite a few extensions of this where we go to, like Dick Armey, a lot of people went to Washington. They let Dick Armey stand there with his podium. They walked up to Dick Armey to listen to him. Not one passed him to go into the Congress and speak to the representative and to be there until, and not remove themselves unless and until the representative started doing the law. We didn't do that. There's many examples of where the people fall short. Then the government got to the point, well, let's set it up. So let's do a tour. We'll call it the January 6th insurrection, and we'll show they better not come in here. We'll show what happens to you when you come in and expect to talk to your representative. Maybe all the stuff we're told about have stopped functioning. Maybe that Declaration of Independence is not important, but she can throw that out there. We can see it, and then we go to sleep again. We don't respond. We don't respond in any way. This transcends even politics in a way, because this is your lifestyle. These are the types of people in government that are running these. They're discredited by by what they say. And we allow it. When we see it, it's a notice to us of something that's wrong. And we don't fix it. So, did the United States win the economic war? It started with Russia? No, not at all. Oil price cap will not make a dent in Russia's revenues. Moscow has rerouted crude shipments of Asian markets at the expense of Western economies. At the expense of Western economies. So, Russia's doing quite fine. Why? Because they figured out what they needed to do to become self-sufficient, self-reliant. Self-reliant to the extent that they are not self-sufficient because they need to get the stuff they produce sent to other people. Even Switzerland buys their gold, remember? Yeah, they find ways to get around these sanctions of so-called loopholes or not. They can do, there are certain things that are still allowed to Russia to do. What happened was the country started stepping up and putting out their own tankers to get the oil. India is becoming a monstrous absorber of oil coming from Russia, notwithstanding the sanctions. Figure all that out. But Russia's not hurting. You are hurting. You're looking at a deficit spending. You're looking at these ceilings that need to be raised. No, you just need to lower. You just need to stop the bloated government. Get rid of all these idiots that are running around doing things to people, threatening people through other middlemen, going to countries and trying to meddle in their affairs, but not coming home to serve you at all. But when you go look at what they're doing, you're realizing, well, they're doing it not for a good reason. There's more exploitation. If the Zambia reorganizes its debt with the IMF, well, that's to the betterment of the treasury, right? Yeah, because the greenbacks keep flowing. The threat on those countries is still there. That's not how Russia and China are doing things right now that I can tell. That creditor that they said China is a creditor on someone who, when you're a country that can't pay, they say, okay, sorry, let's redo this. Keep you going. We'll write that off. Why? Because they got different type of influence going. They're getting the things from the country in a more peaceable manner. The United States could have been doing the same thing. They've chosen this evil path, it seems to me. We used to, at least I thought we used to, go around and ask for people for their stuff and do some swapping out. Some. There's corporations that went around and stole, you know, the pineapple corporations and stuff like that. Not a good example. But anyway, Russia's doing quite fine for this economic war the United States declared on Russia. We lost it in the first declaration. Where are you going? Warning issued for petrodollar. Refusal to look at the greenback for oil payments around the world could undermine the U.S. economy, a former White House official has said. The United States is facing serious economic risks as more countries around the globe move away from the dollar in energy trade, according to a former White House official, Paul Craig Roberts, which I'm a little questioning on what he's offering, but it's true enough here. I'll go with this, that as long as that greenback is running, the petrodollar has value. When it stops, the spigots start being shut off, the places it can go and get used get shut down, it'll reflect back on the United States and the value. That's going to be a transition point. And the biggest problem here is that Saudi Arabia announcing, and I reported about behind which said that it was going to start accepting oil in currencies other than the dollar. So this is a slow turning down of the spigot of the use of the greenback, and it diminishes its value. And that's going to eventually reflect, if it's not already reflecting upon you in the United States, as people like Yellen go to other places and try to strong-arm countries that have not created an example that they know what they're doing. So I could read the story here, but you can see a little bit of the dynamic about how this is going to work. It's not looking good for us. And again, we'll have to do what Russia or China is doing, make parallel values, parallel economies, to adjust what's going to happen to us. Again, if you're not in that system and not of the system and you have an alternative, you can weather that system. UK economy to perform worse than Russia. So nothing that the sanctions are doing are affecting Russia worse than the blowback that the West is feeling or going to feel. And I have a suspicion that was all planned. That's the globalism. That's what you saw, the Pentagon being involved in a pandemic. That's globalism. and attacking people while doing it, or threatening to attack them. So this is again, there's a reality. And the lack of looking at the facts causes you to make wrong decisions. And that can, those wrong decisions are going to have a reflection, usually reflective of coincident with how you've affected somebody, adversely affected somebody else. So I don't know what more to say about this. This is a serious thing in Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Ukraine. This is a global imposition that's going on. And Ukraine is the show. It's the part of it that they can reach out and they touch other countries. But the other countries finally got to the point where they weren't going to put up with it anymore. Russia was the lead on it. Again, the worst thing the United States could have done was put sanctions the way they did and force Russia to have to respond. And in a way, properly so. And they've still got a ways to go, but we'll see. We'll see how this bipolar world works out as we move forward. I've got to go quickly through here. The EU commissioner says U.S. will soon have hate speech laws and boasts about punishing advertisers to demonetize disinformation. The disinformation that we example in the world of the United States is coming back to us as well. And we see a lot of this disinformation being spoken out of, and we're being warned that the hate speech laws, which have been questioned all along, what is hate speech, and the demonetization of disinformation, again, it's a bribe. They take away the bribe to continue to speak correctly or to speak at all, is being told to come to us, but it's already here, so it's not that big a situation. What I'm saying is disinformation's on the front cover. It's what the government has been doing. They just don't want you doing it, or they don't want you doing the actual information. New NYT publisher at Davos, disinformation is the worst existential challenge we're grappling with as society when they're defining what information is. You're watching how they can divide the society. The EU tells TikTok to prepare for censorship of misinformation, harmful content. Australia is concerned it can't stop misinformation in private conversations. This shows us that if we have parallel economies, parallel structures, they can't stop us if we know how to do it. It's not us integrating with that system. The word is out now that the governments are coming, no matter what government. The globalization is still integrated. It's here to say that there's going to be a certain speak. It's the certain speak that you're going to do that is agreed to by those with the power to stop you. China proposes making dissemination of false information a crime in a UN treaty. So I don't know how they get around our free speech laws, but this is what they are bringing forward. The misinformation that we're being told today that is now leaking out as the real information is going to be stopped where you know to go to the objective basis that protects you and not get into these discussions and bad examples and threats made by people that are or governments that are able to shut you out, corporations that are influenced to shut you out, allowing other deceptions to be influencing other people. This is really a battle of evil and good in a way. Without getting too much into that, it's truly an evil thing going on. You see where I may speak in reference to China and Russia doing the right thing. China's involved with controlling your mind by controlling the information you see. I hope something I said today will help you in moving through your problems in the world relative to authorita. I hope you at least get a foot in the right direction quick relative to maybe what you thought before. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Ruler.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.